What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Box Out Boys podcast. We are the NBA podcast of the people, your home for lukewarm takes and substandard analysis. I'm Titus Two Shots Dominguez, and with me, as always, is Chris the Stats Man Gorman. Hit him with the stats, Chris.
Hey. All right, LeBron.
I bet.
Let me talk one thing about LeBron James right now. He has won 9 straight games in a row where it was a winner-take-all scenario, where it's a game 7 or a one-game scenario like he did the other day. LeBron James, man, pretty good.
Pretty good. Almost potentially the greatest of all time. And, of course, the opposite of that coin, the long boss, Troy McCroskey. Get that joke.
You just admitted that your entire segment in the summer was wrong because you just said almost the greatest. So thank you for that.
I was joking there.
Appreciate it. Cool. Got it.
Didn't you come around to LeBron's side? I'm more MJ's side right now. No, I think that's how we're supposed to be in this dynamic. No?
No, that's not how it went at all.
I swear.
Well, yep. The Steve Kerr to our Michael Scottie and Rodman, the professional bronze, hitting them threes, lacing them. How we sound tonight, Adam?
Sounding good. It's I guess you could call it a gift.
A gift, yeah. A gift.
An ethical gift.
On the side. You never know.
So wait, who's who in your Michael Scottie and Dennis comparison?
I don't know. That's actually a good one. I just said the big three.
Curious if you had any thoughts. All right, moving on.
I couldn't figure out who was Rodman. That's what I couldn't do.
I think it's probably me because I probably have the least basketball talent of all of us. But I'm probably the biggest likely to get in a fight for no reason.
I don't know. Let's come back to that. Tell us who you think is the Scottie and the Rodman and Jordan here. I feel like I can't be Jordan off of default. I can't argue against him and then be like, yeah, well, I'm MJ.
I think you're Scottie.
I think I'm Scottie. I'm just getting the points up.
Oh, I thought Tyus was the MJ in this case.
I think Chris, you're the MJ.
I think you're MJ, Chris.
I think you're MJ,
Chris. I think that's how we got it. Wow. Well, now that we got that cleared up, we could talk about some other things tonight. We're going to talk about IST final, of course, absolute banger of a tournament in a final game. Pretty fun. We're going to give some quarter season reactions from the boys, see what they're thinking with about a quarter of the season gone. And then Joey's got a nice coach's challenge for us, also related to LeBron. So let's go ahead and get into it. So speaking of LeBron, IST first-time winner, Los Angeles Lakers, IST MVP, LeBron James. He was taking it seriously, guys. We all knew this. We talked about it. Joey, what do you think, man? One, did you like the kind of the final game? It ended up being pretty cool, pretty intense. And then what did you think of LeBron, you know, taking it home?
Yeah, I enjoyed the final game. I was hoping for a little bit more from Indiana. I think they kind of succumbed to the pressure, kind of fell back to, you know, the age and level of team that they are, which is acceptable, I guess, considering who they went through to get where they did. I also think the Lakers had a really good game plan for Halliburton. They were blitzing him, double teaming him all night, didn't let him get into rhythm early and kind of cut the ability for them to have the pace that they normally do. But, you know, AD was the difference in this game. He looked like the man really on the mission. LeBron was the guy throughout the majority of the tournament, but in the final, you know, AD really kind of finally put it together and looked like he cared. You know, there was a lot of talk from those guys about getting some of the guys at the bottom of the bench that extra money, whether they actually believed that or not, or if it was just kind of the good PR move to kind of say it. Still pretty cool. I was looking at the salaries today, and I think the lowest player on their team makes like $1.1 million. So, you know, hey, this is 45% of his season earnings. When LeBron, it's like less than 1% or just around 1% of his in total season earnings, the extra money that they're getting. So, you know, pretty cool overall. I thought the final was good. I thought, you know, the NBA got exactly what they wanted out of the tournament in the final. I think my only like negative from this entire, you know, experience, I guess, for the first time, and we've talked about this before, was
the LeBron one.
No, that was fine. That was fine. You know, He wanted to care about something that meant nothing. That seems about right for him. No, I think my only kind of thing was the games were kind of too far spread out, hard to follow the entire schedule. You know, I think once they got to Vegas and it was, you know, here's the teams that are left and they were all kind of playing in the same arena and it all happened at the same time. You know, you had two games on one night and then one, it was four games and then two games. It was very easy to follow and kind of understand. But even then they still kind of got it confusing because then they plugged in regular season games for teams that weren't in the tournament on that Wednesday and Friday when those games weren't previously scheduled. So it was just kind of a bit chaotic and crazy. But overall, I was excited for non-Bulls teams in November and early December when I previously wouldn't have been. You know, those just would have been random games that you would have maybe stayed up for to watch on TNT or ESPN or whatever. So I think overall, big win for the NBA. I hope they continue to do it with some minor tweaks to the scheduling. But overall, I mean, the players, the team seem to care about it. But I think they're gonna get a win out of this one. I hope they'll keep doing it. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Chris, your thoughts, man?
It was great. Gosh, Joey said a lot with what I was saying there. Sorry. What I was thinking as I was you're fine. Like when I was going through that. The Pacers Lakers final game. I think both teams really went into it. I think LeBron really wanted to win this game. Vegas is a very, very popular expansion team, and I feel like LeBron is already looking at beyond his career. He wants to own that Vegas team. So I think him winning this game meant even a little bit more in terms of like, hey, I won in Vegas in my place. I'm going to own this team in. I loved how Halliburton and the Pacers kind of at least kept it competitive throughout, even though the score was 14 at the end and, you know, some garbage time, but it was still really competitive throughout. To Joey's point, Halliburton looked rattled into the point where like when AD or Cam Reddish, I think Cam Reddish guarded most of the game, but I saw LeBron on him a few times and trying to put up shots and, with the awkward release, the funny thing with Halliburton's release is like he justifies it because it goes in. It's fine. It goes in. Yeah. But when it doesn't go in, it looks so bad. Like it just looks like, what are you doing? Like it just looks, it looks like the worst release in the league, even though he's one of the smartest players that we've seen come out of this scene, especially this season. So I think the Pacers are small, and I think that's what we saw here. I think this is peak Pacers. I don't know if that's
they peaked this.
I think
the
they peaked. I think
peaked,
this is their
right?
peak.
This is the peak.
I'm in peak Pacers right now. So while I love the end season, I'm excited what we can do to continue. I agree with Joey again, where I liked how they did the every other day, where it was like we did the playoffs and then we had regular season games and then we did the championship. I hope they kind of figure that out for next year where we don't like, it's Tuesdays and Fridays, I guess. Can we get it more maybe like Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday? And just have it maybe over a short period of time. Maybe do like MLB playoffs where it's just over in a snap. You don't even realize that there's a champion already. So
I can see, I can see for like the group stages, maybe compressing that a little bit more, and then spacing out the final things, final games like the bracket. Because for me, actually, the biggest thing I think it's got to be on a team's home court. I know like the LA crowd showed up in Las Vegas, but in that Bucks Indiana game, that was a very quiet arena and it didn't I don't know, for me, especially particularly with NBA basketball, there's just something about that home crowd going nuts, you know, for a big game, playoff type game that I was missing for me personally, I guess. You know, it was there in the championship, but
I like the Super Bowl atmosphere. I like the Super Bowl idea where just do the championship at a neutral site. Do the quarterfinals at like whoever the higher seed is to help with that. But if you want to do like a Super Bowl vibe, I think that could be kind of fun for the NBA to test out.
Yeah, that could definitely could be cool. But I think if they gave them like, even if they spaced it out where they, all right, we did the bracket and then we did the group play, then maybe give it a week or two after to schedule everything. And then that way fans could like schedule their flights or whatever, and then, you know, we can have a little bit more home cooking in those arenas. I think that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
Home cooking. That was it for me there. All right, guys. We're about quarter of the way through the season. There we go. And things are starting to round into shape, at least as far as who teams are and who's showing up for what. Halliburton's are popping off. Chris, what are your kind of overall reactions to the first quarter of the season, and then what do you think of what were surprises you? What were the things you really
the best? The word I have for this season for me, the one word that comes to mind is validation, and it's validation for that Rudy Gobert trade that happened last summer, where when I saw it happen, I envisioned it to being what it is today. Where I wanted D'Angelo Russell to be what Mike Conley is. The unsung hero on this team, obviously, is Mike Conley, who has just managed the game, managed Brock Purdy, this team, into what they are right now in 17-4 at the quarter point of this season. It's a surprise? Sure. I had him at 51 wins. They might even go over that. So, yeah, it's a surprise in that extent. I'm looking at over-unders right now. You both went under. Shame. On the going into the season, so but the Minnesota Timberwolves are the biggest surprise in quotes, because it needed to happen. It was just like, it was like, you know, when you when we don't do a pod for a few weeks, I get like blue my vocal cords, not blue cords, you know, not there, blue cords, right? And I just need to speak. Oh, I just needed the Timberwolves to do something. They're finally doing it. I'm really excited for that. I want to. Point real, you know what? Yeah, Joey, what else? That's what I have, a couple others, but let's.
All right, let's save it. You, Joey, yeah. What was your biggest surprise or, you know, surprise or, you know, thing from this season yet?
You guys are gonna shit on me for this, but my biggest surprise is LeBron should be the front runner for MVP.
Okay.
Whoa. All right.
I have in my top five for later, but let's hear this. Yeah.
And
I'm all in. 39, by the way, older than Utah's coach.
Yeah, I think that, like, I've always died on this hill when we've talked MVP. I think I've been pretty consistent in this, and that, like, the way that MVP gets voted on isn't actually, like, defining of most valuable player. I always think, like, if you took that player off of a team, how good is that team? And, like, with the way that Anthony Davis has been this season, with his inconsistent and kind of hit or miss, like, you take LeBron off the Lakers. The Lakers, A, they don't win the in-season tournament, probably.
Yeah.
And they're not anywhere near, you know, the team that they are right now. And the fact that he's doing it at 39, like, that has to be taken into consideration. Like, the things that he's doing, and, like, his efficiency is sky high. He's putting up, like, 30 a game. Like, he looks, like, more engaged this season than I can remember for the past, like, two or three, probably since they won in the bubble.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, that was the kind of the thing I think they were talking about on the broadcast for the IST. They were saying that it seems like he feels like this team can win the final, and that's why he's so engaged.
Yeah.
Like, you just feel that with him. Like, he was just locked in. Even in, like, you said that Anthony Davis kind of, you know, was the hammer in the championship, and I believe he was. But early in that game, LeBron came out guns blazing, you know what I mean? And I think he maybe ran out of gas there, and then also AD started to dominate. But yeah, are you seeing him just a different kind of LeBron?
Yeah, it just, to me, it seems like maybe thinking just to last year, like, the, not the pressure, because he was obviously going to get the scoring title,
yeah,
but like, that was something that was like weighing on him, that like, this is the last big hurdle I have to get over before, like, that's it, right? There's no other records in my way. I am the holder and keeper of everything that is tenure-wise in the NBA. And now he just looks like he's kind of out there for fun. And, like, his efficiencies are up. His assists are, like, I mean, he's, like, near averaging a triple-double. I feel like every time that I look at a stat line or I look at a box score, it's, like, you know, 30 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. It's, like, he's doing it all, right? He's not just, like, one-dimensional right now. And I truly believe, like, with the improvement that they've had year over year, right? I mean, they were barely relevant last year.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're where they are now this year with the way that he's playing, like, I think that has to carry a lot of weight. And I don't know, when we started the season, I don't think any of us pick LeBron as an MVP.
No, I don't think anybody would have.
We did.
LeBron. No.
I think, you know, we were all kind of thinking, like, hey, he's probably going to be, you know, still a top 10 guy in the league, but he's not going to be, like, standing out there saying, like, I'm potentially still the best active player in the NBA right now.
Yeah. He's top five, I think. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Yeah.
But
he's number six. I had to put him number six for me. I had Jokic, Embiid, Luka, Curry, Giannis, then LeBron. Or is it any of those five you want over LeBron right now, or LeBron over them right now? Maybe Giannis? I don't know.
Long term, no, but like this season right now, maybe over Giannis, maybe over Steph.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I would.
That's good. Yeah.
Embiid's a maybe for me too. But I mean,
Embiid's on his tear. I can't. Let's not disrespect Embiid right now. What he's been doing is stupid.
No, he's playing great. Chris, you got anything else? Quarter season?
You know, I just realized I could go into like, you know, the Pacers been good. The Magic have been good. We don't need to talk about Kobe White. He's been great, but we don't need to go and do it. Let's talk about championship contenders. And that's what we talk about, the Timberwolves and the Lakers. Let's move on.
Is it?
I've got some disappointments.
You had some disappointments, Joey? Go for it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, disappointments. Sorry. I was talking about surprise. I thought you were talking about me. Sorry. Disappointments. I have so many disappointments. Okay. I had a thing about this where, you know, like what Draymond did yesterday with Jusuf Nurkić? I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. You know what I mean?
Real father. Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, you're really still doing this? You just did this like 3 weeks ago, two weeks ago. You put somebody in a chokehold. You didn't apologize for that one. You told people like us that are like, you know, doing our remedial jobs and like, I'll keep doing my thing. Cool, man. Now you're still fucking up. And now, oh, by the way, he's suspended indefinitely. Whatever that means, by the way, that just came through like an hour ago from Adam Silver. Yeah, hot off the press.
Indefinitely?
And the box out, boys. Nice. Yeah, so,
breaking news.
We'll see. Like, Warriors.
I hope they dropped a hammer on him. And
it should be 25 games. It should be the John Morant thing, in my opinion. But the thing with the Warriors, why the most disappointing is because Wiggins and Klay Thompson have also been huge letdowns. Klay, you know, could have been a little predictable because of his injury and his age. Yeah. Wiggins, because of his mentality of not liking the game of basketball, going back to his Minnesota days. So, yeah, the Warriors are still the most disappointing because Curry is still a top five player in the league, arguably. Yeah, Warriors.
Joey, disappointments?
Yeah, I put Memphis. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. I think everybody thought they were going to be kind of behind without Ja, but not this far behind. My other one was the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know,
I hit the Bucks too.
They're okay. Like,
they're 16-7. They're great. What are you talking about, Joey?
But like, is anybody fearing the Bucks right now? Like,
no.
No one's like fearing the deer?
I mean, granted, I've watched like 3 Bucks games all season, 2 of them against the Bulls. And like Dame doesn't look that great.
Okay. Does Dame look scared to you?
So Dame looks like how Dame has always looked, and in my opinion, he's just always been overrated.
He's just been on a really bad team.
He's just been always like, oh, he just hit this crazy shot. Good for him.
Is maybe he having like a Matt Rife effect where people only seen his TikTok highlights.
And crowd work?
They always see his crowd work, and then he gets a Netflix special on the Bucks, and everybody's like, this guy's not that funny.
Is
that what just happened with Dame?
It's kind of what happened with Dame.
Because to me, like, and I use that word scared because it's really weird, but it just looks to me
weird.
Like, he just looks like a guy that has never played with that pressure. Like, in Portland, there was never that real pressure to win, in my opinion. Like, I just never.
They're always dogs.
They're always dogs. Right? Yeah. And now he goes to the Bucks, and it's like, no, you guys should be the favorites. They were, you know, predicted to be the favorites as soon as that trade happened. And I just feel like he's like, ooh, I don't really know how to do it. I know he's still playing great in fourth quarters and stuff like that, but I don't know. It just doesn't look right to me.
We all had him at overs. Tyus, you had him at 60 wins.
Yeah.
They're still on pace for that quarter way through.
Yeah, but it's just, as far as like championship, right now I'm a little nervous for them. Like, I don't know if they're making it. So at least right now. But
I don't even think it's Dame, though. It's more Middleton, though. Like, Middleton averaging 12 points a game. He's still like the Klay Thompson effect where he can't come back from an injury. He's not the same. And then they don't have that other guy. Malik Beasley is their defensive stopper. Joey, we know about Malik Beasley, how he, you know, and, Pat Connaughton's not even on the team. Bobby's fine. Anyways,
Bobby's talking shit in the locker room and stirring up trouble. That's what Bobby's doing.
Not
Oh, yeah.
No, I had the Warriors as my other disappointment, yeah. But Chris already hit on that one. I think that's pretty obvious. But my big take from looking at it was that LeBron is completely
is the GOAT.
Over impressing, I think, in year what is it, 21?
Yeah, 21. I think 21? I think he's sealing up his GOATness right now. This is the current season. Speaking of, let's get into your coach's challenge, Joey, because it is LeBron related. Let's go to the booth, guys. Let's go to Secaucus right now.
Yeah, it's the show of LeBron, I guess. Somehow every topic has been brought up, and I'm in two of them, so this is vicious. It's full sus, but yes, my coach's challenge. I was thinking about this the other night, just about like how the NBA markets itself and how they do it differently than every other major sport, in that they are very cognizant and like very aware that the teams are not what draw fans to their game. It's the players individually. And I think it's one of the things probably a lot of people like about the NBA, and why people who aren't, you know, regular fans come into the game, right? It's because these guys can have individual shoe deals and be, you know, their own unique kind of player. And LeBron epitomizes that his entire time in the career. And we talked about this before on the show, and we've always kind of, you know, given out a handful of names of players that we think could take the throne from LeBron. And as this season has gone through a quarter, all the people we've named, I kind of thought about it and said, none of those guys can do that. So my coach's challenge is, the NBA has a superstar problem in that if LeBron decides to hang it up at the end of this season and next season, there is not a player that the NBA can hang its hat on, a sole individual player out of all of them that they can hang their head on and say, this is the face of our league. This is our guy. This is the reason you should come watch the NBA.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think, man? Are you going to uphold that call and say that that's true, or are you going to overturn it and say?
I think it's true, but it's not a problem. Oh, I think this is a broader thing with our society as a whole, where the singularity of a popular. I think about bands like the Beatles.
Yeah.
Were echelon. Michael Jackson was echelon. Today's version of that is Taylor Swift. But even she's not at that same level as Michael Jackson ever was, right?
Whoa.
We're just kind of more in this field. Don't give me that. Okay.
Come on, man.
She can still go to NBA, NFL games, and they don't have to stop the game. Michael Jackson goes to like an NBA game or something, and the crowd goes so wild.
They're
going to call
the police to hide all the kids. What? Sorry.
It's just the level of popularity is just not at where it was back then, and I think... We're getting to more diverse culture where we can have like these sectioned off superstars. And I think with the league being more talented as ever was, as is today, kind of helps with it, this superstar problem not really being a problem. I think we're okay with handing this off to the Wembanyamas, to the Chet Holmgrens, to the Anthony Edwards, to the Shea Gildress, you know, of the generation. So,
the Kevin Mobley's.
I was thinking about the Evan Mobley thing. There's two problems with Evan Mobley. It's his game is really boring because it's kind of KG-esque, but he's not as good at defending right now. And in the name Evan Mobley is brutal. It is such a boring name, I think, and that's why you guys always make fun of me. Because it. Who cares? Your name is Evan Mobley. Like, this is a boring ass name. It's not like Carmelo Anthony or Dwight. You know, anyways. But yes, I agree with Joey that it is that there won't be a super dominant figure, but I don't think it's as much of a problem.
Okay. I think I'm going to uphold this call. I think this is a problem for the league at some point when he decides to hang it up. I think for two reasons. One thing that kind of hit me, the biggest thing is that I think the league is becoming a little bit more, it's not as open to casual fans, I believe, because of the league is so diverse. Like, there's so many great teams and superstars. But I feel like when I talk to somebody that doesn't, just like a sports watcher, not a basketball guy or whatever, they don't really know who's good. They're like, who's Jokic? I have to explain, like, no, he's a two-time MVP, won the finals last year. Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never heard of him. And same thing like with a Giannis or Luka. These guys aren't the big celebrities that Michael and LeBron were. And I think the reason why the problem is that there's nobody in the conversation with LeBron. And now there's guys that are just as good. You know what I mean? I would say like Jokic, Giannis, those guys are every bit the talent and athlete that LeBron is, but they are not on the career level that LeBron is. And I think you kind of had, you had Jordan who carried the 90s, right? And was the greatest of all time. And everybody, you tune in to watch the greatest of all time. You sort of had that bridge from him to LeBron with Kobe, and where, you know, Kobe was the next Michael, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, he won 5 championships. And is he actually the greatest? And then you had LeBron, and LeBron has had the career he's had, that now he's in the argument of the greatest of all time. And that's what these talking heads and talking talk shows do. And that's what, you know, shows like us, we, you know, is LeBron the greatest? We're going to do a whole thing on it over the summer. There's just nobody behind him that you're like, all right, he can compare to LeBron. Because even if you're like, Jokic is a great guy, a great player, and this is all this stuff, nobody's going to go, yeah, Jokic is better than LeBron career-wise. No. And the other thing is, I just think LeBron has set the bar so high that it's going to be a while before anybody starts to enter that realm of him and Michael. And that's, I think, is a real concern for the league, because they need that to drive viewership and to drive sort of the talk and the narrative throughout the league. Otherwise, because people, even they hate LeBron, they show up to hate LeBron. You know what I mean? And I think that's the crux of the issue. There's nobody that's going to be in that realm for a long time.
I think the NBA needs to change the narrative. I think it's a good thing to get away from player based. Get more like what I like about the NHL is that you guys can't name who the best player in the NHL. It's Connor McDavid, right? Connor Bedard, who Joe, you saw live a few weeks ago. Fantastic hockey player. But nobody really knows about those guys because hockey is such a team driven sport. And I feel like the NFL has kind of gone that way too since Tom Brady left. There's a TikTok I saw today that's talking about Jake Browning, new quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, because Joe Burrow's out, is going to become the new Tom Brady after a couple games. People are desperate to find the next Tom Brady if you're talking about Jake Browning. And I think and the NFL is still thriving. So while the NBA, I think after LeBron, is not going to have LeBron, I think it's still going to be better. I think it's going to be better off, to be honest, the more I think about it. Like, to not have like these superstar driven arguments. Can we just be more team based and like, hey, what's the collective unit look like? The Pelicans have, you know, they're 8 deep. Can they actually make a run?
Yeah.
I mean, so go ahead, Joy.
I think what you're saying, Chris, makes perfect sense for somebody like all of us
who
really like the NBA, right? Like we will watch it because we'll watch the team dynamic.
Yeah.
But the whole reason that the three of us are NBA fans are because of singular players, right? It started with Jordan. It was solidified with Kobe. And then it was cemented with LeBron.
Yeah.
And if you look back to like guys before us or our parents, right? They had a similar kind of trajectory. It was, you know, Larry Bird and then Magic, and then Jordan, right? And like they have this kind of thing. And I hear what you're saying about, you know, hockey. And I think hockey is even doing that. Like Connor Bedard is on more national media than they've ever had a hockey player right before when the team is bad. Like the Hawks are not good and Connor Bedard is everywhere because they've realized like, hey, this is somebody that like we can build excitement around. MLB is doing it with Shohei Ohtani, right? Like here's a guy who is unique and he's different and he can do things that nobody's ever done. And we are pushing him out there for you to come see. And I think for me, like the NBA has always done that. And that's been like, if you're going to watch a game, we don't want you to come watch the Spurs versus the Bulls. We want you to come watch Victor Wembanyama, right?
Or Kobe White.
We don't want you to watch the Cavs versus the Pistons. We want you to come watch LeBron James. And I think, Titus, your point is perfect. And like, there's nobody at that level. And like, I mean, not even at that level, but there's nobody like anointed yet. And Wembanyama, I guess, is probably the guy who is anointed already.
Yeah.
And I think what gets me the most is like, the thing with Kobe, Jordan, LeBron is they were like relatively unknown because the way that the world was is like social media didn't exist as much. And like these guys were like, you knew about them a little bit, but you didn't know the whole like thing about them. And if you looked at LeBron, Jordan, and Kobe against an average NBA player, they look like an average NBA player. Like to the casual fan, you see this person, you go, all right, there's nothing special about LeBron, just physically, like looking at him, you know, when he was a rookie. You look at Wembanyama and you go, okay, that guy's a basketball player. He's freakishly tall. Like something is very unique about him. He should obviously be fantastic at basketball. And like, I think with like Jokic, right? Like a casual fan, you sit down and show a casual fan an NBA game and you say, watch the Denver Nuggets. This is the two-time back-to-back MVP. Yeah. This guy is the best player in the league. Someone's going to watch it and be like, okay, you're lying to me. Like this guy's getting lucky on some of these shots.
Dude, I'm like,
they're the like, this bowl of pudding is the best guy in the league.
Well, yeah, when we did the highlights on Jokic, I was like going nuts over the passes. And I showed that to Caitlin, my wife. That's be awesome.
My
and she's
wife.
Like, what I guess this is cool. I don't know. She's trying to be nice. But she's like, I'm like, these passes are insane what he's doing. But like, it just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, I also like, think there's like a fact of like that somebody has to want to be the superstar. Like LeBron wanted to be the superstar, right?
Yeah,
he wanted all the smoke. Right, Kobe wanted all that smoke, and they took it, and they advanced.
Anthony Edwards, like, give me Edwards, man, dude. Like,
but even like, so there's guys that are out there. I say like Edwards, Giannis, those guys, and they're great players, but they're not. I don't think they're gonna be in that LeBron stratosphere. Kobe, you know, Jordan. Now Wemby's like to Joey's point has been anointed, right? But let's say Wemby doesn't become that guy. You know what I mean? Let's just say he becomes like a Durant type or, you know, just another guy that's a great player, but not this all-time great where he's winning multiple finals or going to the finals every other year. I think there starts to be a little bit of lag of like, I mean, it's going to be weird because I'm kind of curious if it's going to hold up or how it's going to be. This is sort of new era of the NBA where, like, what do we say? The last 5 years has been a different champion each 5 years, right?
Yeah, and that first time just, ever.
First time ever, it just doesn't happen. In the 80s, Lakers, Celtics, 90s, Bulls, you know, 2000s, Lakers, Spurs. Then it's the Heat and, you know, and the Cavs and the Warriors.
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron. Know. It was LeBron and the Warriors. That's just
LeBron
shit.
LeBron and Curry. Yeah.
But you had sort of these, you know, generational battles all the time. And I'm still waiting for that team or that player to sort of step up and go, hey, we're the next guys that are going to be winning all these titles.
I think Shea, like, There's guys.
Like,
to your point, like, there's not really, like, Shea's a good example. Anthony Edwards is a great example.
But let's say
Zion eats himself out of being an example.
Shea wins one, then Anthony Edwards wins one, then Luka wins one, and then
Tatum wins once.
Then Tatum wins once. It's like, you know what I mean? And you're going back and forth, and then everybody's trying to keep up of like, well, okay, well, is Boston good anymore? Well, they won last year, but they didn't win this year, and I'm kind of curious what happens. I think the sickos like us, we're going to love it. We're going to be like, oh, we'll be deep diving who's actually going to win and following it. But I don't think...
We could fall into like the early 2000s where like, it was like Duncan and Dirk and KG.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, who's going to win it? Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's interesting.
With Edwards, Shea, and Luka instead.
Yeah.
With shooting guard instead.
Shooting guards.
It's good debate. I guess I should have framed it more around it's for the casual fan, like bringing new people in. Like the sickos are going to love whatever happens. It's if you're going to watch a game for the first time and you pick a random team, like, are you going to see something that's going to blow your mind?
Besides three of the teams, Wizards, Spurs, and Pistons, yes, you will.
I just don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case.
Yeah. I kind of agree. All right. Well, that is it. Well, that's a good point. I do have one little note here. I'm going to say Pacers beat the Hawks. Magic beat the Nets. Thunder beat the Spurs. And the Kings beat the Suns in the TNT Tournament of Champions. So for next week, Pacers, Magic, Thunder, Kings in the quarterfinal.
Pacers, Magic, and Thunder, Kings?
Yep. So...
Those are
good teams. So it's been fun watching them. I really enjoyed
the
Pacers.
How do you feel about the Thunder 1% tax increase for the next 6 years for the city of Oklahoma, or for the state of Oklahoma, I think.
Oh, for getting their new building or something, right?
For getting that $1 billion stadium, yeah.
I think billionaires should pay their share, but we won't get into politics.
Well, they're paying their share, the 50, but it's a 5% share.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next. May have to factor into my decision later.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't mind visiting that stadium. So if you like the Thunder, we should all
maybe do a Box Out Boys trip.
We can do an OKC Box Out trip.
Can we fly there? I'm not sure. A road trip.
Is it no, OKC? Fly.
Okay. Fly.
Yeah, great. Making sure. Just
17 hours? Oh, you don't want to be in the car with Christopher.
I don't want to be in the car.
We've driven long enough together, Joey. I don't know. We almost died on that bridge.
Let's get some, that was only like 8 hours. Air. This is a lot longer.
All right, none of our musical taste is good enough, collaborative enough to...
We have podcast taste, though. It just isn't a podcast for us.
It would just be a 12-hour basketball podcast.
Yeah, we'll just save up no dunks for like 2 weeks and then just listen to them all at once.
No dunks, low post.
We're watching no basketball for 2 weeks and just consume it all via podcast.
And then we'll go see the Thunder play the Pacers for the the championship. Right. All right, well, that is it for us tonight. Follow us on social media at the Box Out Boys. Slide in those DMs. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and Spotify. We appreciate that. Until next time, a box out.